Well, as I said, we approach a very, very critical hour here. You know, for many years now, Crooked Creek people have listened to these missionary presentations, and all the way from small children, all the way up through the oldest adults, they have said, you know, I believe I want to be a part of what these missionaries are doing around the world. And they have reached into those pew backs, like in front of you there, and they pulled out a faith promise card. Look up there, if you will, and see if you can find one in the pew back in front of you and pull it out, if you will. There's a faith promise card there. I guess we should have pulled everything else out today, but anyway, there is a faith promise card up there, and it gives a lot of information. It has two sections on it. One is the one on which you mark your faith promise and turn it in. The other side is one you keep for your own personal reference. But it tells about faith promise. Faith promise is just an amount that you pray about and say, you know, God, would you have me to be a part of this? If so, would you tell me what I ought to give above my tithe for missions? And our folks have looked at that all down through the years. Most of the time they started out with some smaller amount, $5, $10, $15 a week that they would add to their tithe and give to missions. Sometimes it would be a little more than that. But anyway, they've always looked at that, and they've been amazed at the blessings of God that have come upon them by giving those amounts. It just seems like God loves the people represented by these flags. And so anytime you give to support God's work around the world, it's just such a tremendous opportunity, a tremendous thing, as dozens of people around here could testify, and as you can tell by the total gifts that have been given. But anyway, Brother Hayes, I've asked him to come and share with us about their experience as a church when he was pastor down in Fayetteville, and also to give you a challenge about faith promise so you can think about it, and so it'll help you pray at the end of the service about what God would have you do. Now, this is a little bit out of his, typical Sunday morning stuff that he does in revival. He usually comes in and he's all about the revival meeting. So I ask him to step aside, and there's a reason for it. Their church down in at Kenwood in South Atlanta was one of the better missionary churches that I know of. They prayed and worked and gave and ended up supporting, I thought it was a little over 100. He told me it was a little less than 100 missionaries that they supported down there, gave generously to them. And God blessed their church and blessed it and blessed it as he's done ours. So anyway, Brother Hayes, now I've given that introduction. If that's not the way you go, you're a free man here at Crooked Creek. You come right ahead, my brother. Brother Darrell Hayes, God bless you, my brother.
Welcome, preacher. Amen. God bless you. And you're on the money. Amen. We actually ended up supporting 92 missionaries when I was there. And our people loved missionaries. They were, we'd have a man come in just to visit, and they'd say, let's put him on. I said, well, let's pray about it first and ask the Lord if it's his will. We don't want to just react. We want to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But anyway, I've enjoyed today already. I enjoyed the Sunday school hour with the missionary from Togo, West Africa. That was a blessing. To watch his presentation, hear what he's doing there. And then, of course, the presentation of all the 40-something missionaries you support. And I was looking as you went through the list there. I guess I know probably over half of those men and women. Matter of fact, Brother Jim Daly and I went to college together, and we've supported him for years and years and years. Miss Marjorie Tatter, we've supported her. Arnold Skelton, I was there when Arnold was a teenager and surrendered to the mission field. Then I was there when he went off to college and met his wife. And then he brought his wife, Linda, back to Lakewood area where we live, and she stayed in my home, me and my wife. I had her as a young girl. She's a young teenage girl. She stayed in our home, and then Arnold and I, for many, 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 many hours, have prayed together. We have preached together. We have preached on the streets of Atlanta. We've been soul winning together. And of course, we have supported him for many, many years as well. And then, of course, many of the others there. My mind went back some good memories when I first met them, first started supporting them. And what a blessing it is. And of course, we was able to do that because our people got a hold of the faith promise philosophy. Now, I'll say more about that in my message, but let me just give you one story. When anybody would join our church, I would say to them, or one of the deacons would say to them, now, everybody who joins Kenwood Baptist, we require you to tithe. That's biblical. To not tithe is to rob God. So we require every person who becomes a member of Kenwood Baptist to tithe. Now, that's an established 10%, and you don't have to pray about that. You just obey God. Then we said we expect every person who's a member of Kenwood Baptist to give to missions. Now, that part you pray about. God wants you to give a dollar or $5 or $10. That's between you and the Lord. But we want every person to be involved in winning souls here and around the world. Well, one of our little ladies, the widow ladies, came to me and she said, Preacher, she said, I understand and agree with what you've said. I agree that I need to tithe. I agree that I need to support missions. But she said, to be quite honest with you, she said, I don't have any money to support missions with. She said, I live on Social Security. And by the time I pay my little lot rent and my trailer note and buy some groceries, I don't have any money left over. She said, I would love to do it, but I just can't. I don't see how it's possible. And I said, well, now, let me just explain to you. This is faith promise. It's not a matter of you looking at your checkbook and determining how much you can. You say to the Lord, I'd like to be obedient. And if you will channel through me through some means, channel through me an amount, give me an amount and then help me to trust you for it. I said, he'll do that for you. Well, several weeks went by and one of my men came to me and he said, I think you need to know about this little lady. She's giving $200 a week to missions. And I thought, oh my, I didn't mean for her to take her grocery money and her little trash. And so it disturbed me. So I drove to her home, knocked on the door. She, with a big smile, good to see you, Brother Hayes, come on in. I said, well, I'm a little upset about something. I said, I'm here to talk to you about what's going on with you. I said, I understand you giving $200 a week to missions. And I said, I never meant for you to take your grocery money and your bill money today. She said, wait a minute. She said, you made that clear. She said, I understood exactly what you were saying. You said it's by faith. So I came home and I told the Lord, Lord, I want to be obedient. I want to be able to do. And she said, I don't have any money, so you're going to have to give me some money somehow. She said, well, in a few days, a man called me and asked me if I'd be willing to drive an automobile from point A to point B. She was a widow lady, but she said, my health is good. And he wanted me to drive an automobile from point A to point B. He'd pay me $50 to do it. And she said, I'll do it. So she said, I drove the automobile from point A to point B. He gave me $50 here. When I got here, they gave me a $150 tip. So I gave that $200 to missions. Said a few days later, they called and wanted me to deliver three cars. $50 each, that's $150. I got over here, they gave me a large tip. She said, I gave that to missions. I said, well, now, if you're making all that kind of money, you give more to missions then. Of course, I was just picking at her. But my point is, listen, if our people were able to support missions, we had a large balance every month where we would go through the list. We'd take three missionaries every month and give them $300 extra a month. And then the next month, three more. That's $900 extra dollars a month. And we're able to do that. Never deplete because our people got this concept of faith, promise, giving. Lord, help us to be obedient. And apparently you're doing the same thing, and we say, to God be the glory. Amen. All right, Revelation chapter 5, if you will, please, for our scripture reading this morning. Revelation chapter 5. And it's always exciting to see people that not have it on. All right, let's see here. Let me try again. I thought I did. Now I do. Okay. All right. Thank you for the heads up there, my brother. All right, Revelation chapter 5, for those who can and will, stand with us, please, for the reading of the Word. Now, in Revelation 5, John is looking at a scene that is still yet future. I mean, it's not happening just yet. Still not on, brother? Gave me one button to mash and didn't do it right. I'm telling you, it wasn't true. All right, do I need to start all over? But anyway, Revelation 5, John is looking out into the future and he sees an event taking place that still hasn't taken place yet. As a matter of fact, Revelation 5 is about all the people who have been saved, born again, washed in the blood, and they're all there by the millions. They're there in heaven. And so John 5, won't you look with me please at verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Now watch this, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue, and people, and nation from around the world. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Thank you so much. You may be seated if you will, please. Now, salvation is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Anybody in this room that's been saved, you know what I'm talking about, and you can say amen to that. Salvation is not joining the church or being baptized. Salvation is where you come to a place in your life that you realize that you're lost, that you're on your way to hell, and that you need a Savior, you need a substitute, you need somebody to pay for your sins. And at some place in your life, at an altar, behind the barn, beside the couch, that you bowed your head and heart and said to the Lord Jesus, I need you to save me. And at that moment, now, you may not remember if it was a Tuesday. You may not remember if it was a 10 o'clock in the morning. But you'll remember the experience if you've ever been born again. Can you say amen to that? And so salvation is a definite experience when you gave your heart and soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you cannot remember something of that sort happening to you, again, I'm not talking about joining the church and being baptized, then I beg you to go back and say to the Lord, Lord, I don't believe I've ever been saved because all I've done is join the church. But when you become a Christian, when you're born again, when you're saved, then for the first time in your life, you feel complete. You feel whole. Now you see, a person, when they're unsaved, they can say, well, if I could just marry that individual, then I'll be happy. Or if I could just have that house, then I'll be happy. If I could just drive that automobile. If I could just get that job. And they're always looking for this thing or that person to make them happy. If there's ever a case, a classic case, of somebody who had everything that they felt like that they would need to make them happy and still weren't, it's Bruce Jenner. Now, I'm not making fun of him. Listen, I feel sorry for Bruce Jenner. You see, here's a man that's a classic example of a man having everything that he would think that would make a man happy. He had health, he had applause, he had money, he married beautiful women. I mean, everything that he traveled, he had everything that you would think that it would take for a person to be happy, he had it. But at 65 years of age, he confessed to the fact that he had never been happy, although he was an athlete and all that. He had never been happy. Something was always missing. And in his mind, he felt like it was because he needed to be a woman. And so now at 65 years of age, he's going to live, I guess, the rest of his days out as a woman. Now here's the sad thing. You can airbrush him. You can put women's clothes on him. You can put lipstick on him and all the other. And when you get through, I'm sorry, you still have a 65-year-old dude. That's still looking and still searching because he doesn't... Listen, what the world is looking for is the bread of life.
What the world is looking for is the water of life, and I don't care who you marry, I don't care. And so, to my heartache, Bruce Jenner will live the rest of his days, I suppose, as a woman, and he will feel just as empty as he has all these years because he don't know Christ as his Savior. So salvation is about completing you. It's about you finding that you've been looking for all of your life. It's about discovering the bread of life, the fountain of life, and knowing what it is now to be whole and complete. It's about forgiveness of sins. It's about being washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so salvation is a wonderful thing. But salvation is more than me missing hell and going to heaven. It's about the journey. I'm glad I'm missing hell. Can you say amen to that? And I'm glad I'm going to heaven. But I have enjoyed 50 years of walking with the Lord. 50 years of answered prayer. 50 years of Him providing for and giving peace and doing all the wonderful things. I don't have time to do all of that, talk about all that. But I'm telling you, 50, it's all about the journey. You say, well, preacher, I'm saved, but you don't know what I've been through. No, I really don't. So how do you expect me to be at peace or happy? Well, because there's enough grace for whatever you've been through. There's enough grace. I don't care. Years ago, there was a little lady that was expecting a baby, and her husband was a truck driver riding the roads, and he was about 3 days away, and she was right at due time, and so the CB came on, and they said, big boy, you better turn that rig around, said your wife has just had a brand new baby boy. And so, boy, he turned that truck around and headed toward home. And he stopped just long enough to buy a baseball, a ball bat, and a ball glove so he could take it to that new little son of his. 3 days later, he drove up into the yard and jumped out of the truck, grabbed those three items, and ran into the house. And when he ran into the house, laying in the middle of the bed was this tiny little baby boy, just a tiny little fella. But he didn't have any arms or hands. He didn't have any legs or feet, just two little nubs sticking out from where the arms and legs should have been. And that daddy looked down into that bed at that little baby boy and saw the condition he was in. And he laid the bat and the ball and the glove down and turned and walked away and got in his truck and left and never came back. And that little guy could have grown up and been very bitter at God. God, I don't understand it. If you love me, why did you make me this way? Why did you allow me to be born without legs or feet or arms or hands? I don't understand why. If you love me, why would you do this to me? He could have been very bitter at a daddy who rejected him because he wasn't what his daddy expected. But he didn't. Instead, when he became a young boy, he gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and grew up as a Christian. And then God called him to preach. And when I had him to come preach for me, I was standing out in the parking lot when he drove up in his van, and I say he because he was driving it. They had it all fixed up and rigged up where he could drive it. And he drove up in that parking lot there and got out and got in his wheelchair, and out stepped his little wife. Beautiful. I mean, not just pretty, but very beautiful young lady that he'd married. We got him up on the platform and behind the pulpit when it's time for him to preach, and he stood with those two little nubs. He stood on the arms of that wheelchair, and he leaned across the podium with those little nubs and looked out toward an audience, and he said, isn't God good? What a wonderful Savior. I'm saying it's all about the journey. It's not just missing hell and going to heaven. It's all about going to getting the grace you need for whatever you go through. It's all about, now listen, that's what God wants to do for the world. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm saying to you again, it is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful journey. But now, look, we look here in Revelation 5, and we see heaven, which is a real place. Heaven's not an imaginary place. It's not a place where we go and sit on clouds and wear long robes and play harps. If that was the case, I don't think I'd be interested. It's a real place with trees and rivers and mansions and people. My mother's there, my dad's there, my grandmother's there. I mean, it's a city just like it is here, amen. And I'm telling you, I'm going to that city, amen. But here the Bible says that in that scene in Revelation 5, millions of people are gathered together and they're singing a new song. And that song is, "Thou hast redeemed us by thy blood, out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people." Now that means that they're from Togo, West Africa. They're from Japan. They're from China. They're from all around the world. They're from Athens, Georgia. I mean, they're redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ from around the world. Now, how is that possible? How is that possible? Well, it's possible because of churches like this here. It's possible because somebody has won these people to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful somebody reached me for Christ. Can you say amen to that? Aren't you glad somebody prayed for you? Aren't you glad somebody taught with you? Aren't you glad somebody handed you a gospel tract? Aren't you glad that somebody invited you to the services? Aren't you glad that somebody told you the old gospel story of how Jesus Christ had died on the cross? Aren't you glad that there was a time when you came to know that you needed a Savior? Aren't you glad? But everybody that's here in our heavenly scene, every person without exception, are there because somebody reached them for Christ. See, how can they believe except they hear? I mean, they can't believe unless they have heard the story. I was in Idaho some years ago, and I was having supper with the family, and I said to them, "Could you tell me how you came about knowing Christ?" And the wife said, "Well, I was in the grocery store, and said I'd left after getting my groceries and was walking out the door, and a lady was standing outside on the sidewalk and said to me, 'Ma'am, could I give you something to read?' And she handed me a little pamphlet. She said, I thanked her and went on my way." So I got home, put my groceries up, and sat down and began to read that little pamphlet, and said, something began to happen inside of my heart. Something began to take place inside of my soul. And said, I began to have an awareness of the fact that I needed this Savior that this little piece of paper was talking about. And said, I opened my heart and gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Said, I told my husband about it. He read the paper, and he gave his heart to Christ. She said, about 10:30 that night, we both got so excited, we decided to call a couple that we were good friends to and ask them if we could come to their house and share with them what we had heard. And so we drove to their house and a few minutes before 11 and sat down and gave them that gospel tract, and they read it and said both of them gave their hearts to Christ as well. So the next day, we took that same gospel tract to a third couple, and said they read it and they opened their heart to Christ. And she said, all three of us couples are in the same church. This scene here is possible because people at Crooked Creek Baptist give out gospel tracts. Give out gospel tracts. Give out gospel tracts. I mean, you leave them there on the table when you leave a tip, when you eat out at a restaurant. Now, if you're going to give just a cheap tip, don't leave a tract. Especially with church name on it. But leave a hefty track, a hefty tip, and leave a track. And you, when you get to heaven, you're going to meet a lot of these people. A lot of these people that you never know that were there because you were faithful in giving out gospel tracts. You were faithful in witnessing and winning them to Christ. And I'm saying, listen, because you're winning people to Christ here and asking God to help you reach people. I won just a few weeks ago, won a Muslim to Christ. I mean, the gospel was powerful enough to penetrate through all of that religion, and I watched him as he began to weep and then eventually sob. And I mean, he was sobbing, and he said, "What should I do?" And I said, "Get on your knees and ask Christ to save you." Winning people to Christ. The gospel is still the dynamite of God. And because you're busy trying to win people to Christ, then people like this in Revelation 5 are going to be in heaven. Amen. I went out to see a guy here recently, and great big old guy. Of course, you'll notice in my stories most of the people are big, but anyway, great big old guy, and we went out onto the back deck, and the preacher and I, and the preacher said to him, said, "Well, Joe, let me ask you a question." I said, "How's your walk with God?" He said, "Well, boys, I don't suppose I've got one." And I said, "Well, now, Joe, what you've just admitted to me is, and to this preacher, is that you're going to hell." I said, "Now surely you'd want to go to hell, do you?" And he said, "Oh no, no, it scares me to death." And I said, "Well, now Joe, you don't have to go to heaven, to hell." I said, "You can go to heaven." I said, "All you got to do is get on this porch right here and tell the Lord you're a sinner and you want to be saved." And so that great big old guy, he got down on his knees and he put his hands under his chin like a little child, and he looked up toward heaven and he said, "Now, Lord, I'm a sinner." And he said, "I want you to save me." He said, "I don't want to go to hell." And boy, at some point in that prayer, I mean, it hit him. And he came up and he grabbed me in a bear hug and picked me up off of the floor. And I'm dangling in the air. And I said, "Joe, put me down." He said, "Well, I'm happy." I said, "I'm happy for you, but put me down. Don't hurt me." But salvation is the result of us helping reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. Telling people about the Lord. And some of you have gone to the mission field. I was preaching at a college here some years ago and standing in the vestibule there, and a young lady came out, and I said, "Well, ma'am, let me ask you a question." I said, "I know you're in Christian college here, but are you a Christian?" And she said, "I certainly am." I said, "Can you tell me when you got saved?" She said, "I got saved when I was 9 years old." And I said, "Well, that's wonderful. How old are you now?" She said, "I'm 22. I said, "What are you going to do when you get out of college?" She said, "Well, this is in March." She said, "In May, I'm graduating, and I'm going to China as a missionary. I'm going to start raising my support." And I said, "How old were you when you felt like God was calling you to go to China as a missionary?" She said, "Now listen, mamas and daddies." She said, 10 years old. A little girl. A little girl. That's the reason children's church is important. That's the reason Sunday school is important. That's the reason family altar is important. That's the reason raising your children right is important. That little girl got saved at 9. 1 year later, surrendered her heart to go to the mission field and is now raising her support to go to China. So this crowd in Revelation 5 is there because of churches like this, people like you, that are winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ personally, and some of you going to the mission field. But whether you go to the mission field yourself or not, you can give. You can give. Now I want you to notice in verse 9, every one of those in verse 9 that are there, all those millions of people are there, have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Thou hast redeemed us by thy blood. You see, the blood, it is absolutely, I know you liberals, I know a lot of your churches are taking the blood out of the psalm books, out of the sermon, out of the different versions and all, but I'm telling you, hey, the blood, it still takes the blood. The devil hates the blood. I may have told you this story, but I was preaching in Haiti and I landed on Tuesday night, or Tuesday afternoon, and Tuesday night we had a service. We had about 400 there. Dirt floor, block walls, roof, no windows. Had about 400 there, and I preached. That was on Tuesday night. Came back on Wednesday night, had a larger crowd, had about 600. On Thursday night, had about 800. But because we were having so many people saved, the voodoo folk got real upset with us. We were winning some of their people to Christ, and they didn't want them to be saved. And so they got outside of the church up against the walls there and began to beat their drums and began to chant. And and carrying on, and I noticed that it made the crowd nervous, and some of them went home. And I said to the preacher, I said, what's going on? He said, well, the voodoo folk have come up to the wall there and chanting and trying to put spells on the people here, and said a lot of them have gotten nervous and gone home. Well, on Friday night, we had about 1,000 there. Crowd was bigger. And the voodoo folk got even closer and began to beat their drums and begin to do their chants and so forth. And I noticed the crowd was getting nervous again. So I jumped up on the platform there and I said to my interpreter, I said, get them to reply in the Creole language to me. Tell them to give me the answer to this question. And I said, what can wash away my sin? And they said, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I said, what can make me whole again? They said, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Boy, they got into that thing. They stood, that 1,000 people stood and began to sing in that Creole language. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. And they sung, and I'm telling you, they sung loud and they sung with vigor. And pretty soon the drums got quiet and the chanting stopped and they went away. And we had 38 before he even got to get saved that night, before he even got to preach. The blood, the devil hates the blood. But I'm telling you, if you're going to be saved, it takes the blood. And in order for those in China or Japan or Africa, whatever, to know how to become a Christian, they've got to know that they've got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And in order for them to know that, we've got to tell them. Yep. And in order for our missionaries to go, then you and I have to support them. We have to give them the money for that to happen. Now again, our people supported 92 missionaries, but we started out, preacher, years ago, we started out with one missionary. $10 a month. That's where we started. And our people decided they could do that, and then I said, now look, you buy Coca-Colas, you buy snack cakes, you buy... And those who are not walking with God, you buy cigarettes and say amen right there. But I said, you can take that money and divert it and use it for mission. And so our people got a hold of that concept, so we began to support 2 and then 5 and then 20 and then 25 and then 45 and then 75 and then finally 92. And my goal was, when I quit pastoring, my goal was for us to support 100 and then start all over again with another goal. But it's because God's people, like that little lady said, Lord, I want to be obedient. I do want to be obedient. Lord, I want to give because I know it's the right thing to give. And some of you in this room, you fit into that category. Listen, you know it's right, but you don't feel like you can. Would you trust the Lord? That's what it's about, faith promise. Would you trust the Lord? Would you trust Him to channel through you that He wants you to give so that we can support? And one day, listen, one day, you and I are going to be standing among this crowd. Matter of fact, if you look real close in that verse, those that are singing, I'm there. Yeah, if you look real close, you'll see me. I'm right there. I've been redeemed by the blood. Listen, I've been, and I'm there. And I'm telling you, when I look and see all of these that our church has helped influence and we've helped win to Christ, I think I'm going to be glad. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
The preacher said, you're part of something big. Now, some in this room, maybe you want to surrender to go to the mission field like that little 10-year-old girl did. Certainly all of you should say, Lord, help me be a soul winner. I want to win people to Christ. Every person that's saved should say, Lord, I'm willing to give. I'm willing to give. Would you stand with us for prayer, please? Our heads are bowed. They're coming to the instruments. I enjoy coming to churches like this. You've already got the vision. But some of you maybe have not been as diligent about winning people to Christ as you should. giving out gospel tracts. And maybe this morning you need to make your way to the altar and say, Lord, I've been slack in that area. And I want you to help me to be more diligent. I want you to help me be more faithful. Maybe some of you, you're already giving to missions, but God's challenged your heart this morning to give even more. And you want to talk to Him about it and say, Lord, I want you to help me to be obedient in this matter of giving to missions. Then some of you may want to come and say, Lord, I'm ready to go wherever you want me to go. If you want me to go to China, if you want me to go to Japan, I'm willing to surrender. I want you to use me for your honor and glory. I wonder how many of you lift your hand and say, Preacher, God spoke to my heart this morning. Can I see your hand, please, all over the building? God bless you. Wow, God bless you. As they begin to play on instruments, why don't you make your way to the altar and just do business with God. Whatever it is the Lord's spoken to you about, whatever you want to talk to Him about, you come this morning as they begin to play. You come on.